Good morning, church. Would you stand in the house this morning?
Thank you. to the Lord right now. Lift our hearts, lift our hands, lift our voices to the Lord. In worship and praise today, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Oh, Father, we love you today. Jesus, we love you today. Holy Spirit, we love you today. Worship your name, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love, your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us today in this service. Thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. We open our hearts, Lord, right now. We open our hearts, we open our lives to you, Lord, for the inspection of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit to take place, O Lord. Examine us, O Lord, today, O God. Look into our hearts today, O Lord. See us where we are. Speak to us, O Lord, and draw us to yourself today, Father. Accomplish your purposes within us right now, Lord. Change us, O Lord, and make us more like Jesus today, we pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us today. Oh, Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This morning, as we are gathered in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we come together to celebrate his great love for us this morning, to declare to one another that Jesus is Lord and God is love. Amen. To encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, to lift one another up, and to join our hearts and our voices together and magnify our wonderful God today. One of the chief purposes of the church is to glorify God together. And it's our privilege and joy to do that this morning. Today we're going to celebrate Holy Communion together as an act of remembering the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and the work of salvation that he accomplished when he paid the price for our sins. I hope that you receive the elements of communion today. If you need the elements of communion right now, would you lift your hand quickly and we'll come to you today. Come to where you are right now. Just keep your hand lifted for just a moment as we make our way to you today. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. We'll move right upstairs in just a moment. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Was lost, but now from the Lord, what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body given, broken for you. Let us pray together right now. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the amazing gift of salvation through the powerful sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world as your only begotten Son, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the old rugged cross for the sins of all humanity, was buried in the tomb and rose again from the dead on the third day, rose again to justify us and to bring us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has now been received into heaven and is seated at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. And thank you for the promise of the return of Jesus someday soon. We look forward to seeing Jesus face to face, being united together as your people in your presence forever and forever and forever. Thank you, Lord, for these precious blessings today. We eat this bread, Lord, as a reminder that your body was broken. And we drink the cup as a reminder that your precious blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins and the restoration of our lives into the family of God. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat the bread together. The same way after supper, Jesus took the cup, said, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together, please. Thank you, Lord. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach, you declare, you sing sometimes the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection. And you declare that that is enough for everything we need. Everybody say, Jesus is enough. Yes, he's enough for this life and forever. We are declaring today that Jesus is enough. I want to do one more thing before we close out this prayer time together. I want us to, let's see, we have all four of our pastors here. Take a bottle of anointing oil very quickly right now. And I want to take just a moment to move to where you are. If you need a physical healing today, then I want us to pray together. You know, the Bible declares that it's by the stripes of Jesus that we are healed. We've declared today through the act of celebrating Holy Communion together that the work of Jesus is enough. And so we'd like to, as the pastors, the deacons who are here in this service, you join us quickly as well so we can move as quickly as we can. Take a bottle of anointing oil. And if you need a touch of healing in your body today, lift your hand right now. We will come right to where you are and anoint you with oil. We will not linger long, but we want to anoint you with oil and pray over you the prayer of faith for the Lord's healing touch in your body. Just keep your hand lifted, if you would, please. Pastors, go and make your way. Deacons, go. Make your way to where the people are. You may have to step out toward the aisle a little bit for the pastor to reach you, but let's agree together right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the work of healing, Lord, that has been accomplished through Jesus Christ, your Son, his powerful death, where he shed his blood and bore the stripes in his body for our healing. We declare today as we pray that with the stripes of Jesus, we are healed today. Just keep your hand up until someone has made their way to you and agreed together with you in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. congregation, would you look around and just come into agreement in prayer for those who are calling to the Lord for healing right now. Let's make this a house of prayer right now. A house of prayer and agreement. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet. Sweet the sound. Sing together when we've been there. Ooh. and amen. God bless you and good morning. You may be seated, everyone. And it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord with you today and to experience the presence of the Lord. We have a few very important announcements to share with you today. Our first announcement is to welcome a new member to our pastoral staff. We want to welcome today our new young adults pastor, Pastor Mason Cowan. Come on, Mason. And you stay down. Stay down there, please. Stay down. You stay down there. He's kind of a short little guy, but we'll accept him like that. Mason Cowan is coming to us from Springfield, Missouri. He is in the process of finishing. He's got a little bit more to go. He has online studies at Evangel University, and he's been working for Life 360 Church in the Springfield area for the last year, and he's going to be leading our young adults ministries. And welcome, Mason. We would have you, you know, preach a little short sermonette, but we're short of time today. So come on, stand up here for just a minute. Mason is 6'6" tall, and so so he and I will be doing some one-on-one basketball here. How many of you believe that? Welcome, Mason. And Mason is going to be, he's going to be taking anybody, any of the young adults, let's say ages 18 to 24, out to lunch today. He'll treat you to lunch. If you're available, let's see, what time can you meet? 1 o'clock. Let's plan for 1 o'clock over at El Espelon by the fire station on 179. Yeah. If you can, all of you who fit into that category, how many of you, the days of 18 to 24 are a million years behind you? Yeah, we know. But if you fit into that category, please take a moment to at least come up and meet Pastor Mason after the service and maybe connect and maybe be able to have lunch after service. All right, Pastor Ryan, you come and give us a word about what's going on this week.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
First of all, I love you. You guys are awesome. Second of all, Mega Sports Camp is this week starting tomorrow. So I need you to do two things, please. First of all, pray that the rain holds off, at least on this property. Last year, if you'll remember, they said it was going to rain all week, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and it rained the last 30 minutes on Friday, and we took that as a victory and a blessing from the Lord. So please continue to pray that it won't rain, at least on the property. Some people need it. We don't. So no rain on the property this week. And second of all, if you're just thinking to yourselves, oh, I meant to tell Pastor Ryan I was going to help with Mega Sports Camp, it's not too late. Just show up around 5:15 tomorrow, 5:30 tomorrow, and I will receive you with open arms. And lastly and quickly, if you'd like to have one of these amazing t-shirts, come see me in the month of June, and we'll get you set up.
All right, Pastor Ryan, thank you. Now let's give it up for Pastor Lisa, our youth pastor. She's coming to share an announcement.
We have an amazing opportunity tonight because, I mean, all of you want dinner, I'm sure. And we all know that Pastor Lowell loves spaghetti, and he will be there to eat spaghetti. So tonight at 6:30, we're having our fundraising spaghetti dinner and variety show for our youth missions team. Our team is leaving next month for South Dakota in the heart of the Yankton Sioux Tribe Reservation. We're going to have a wonderful time with our lovely brothers and sisters there. And we will be welcoming you tonight at 6:30. Tickets are available after the service, or you can just come tonight and get a ticket and find your way in. We will be taking an offering for the expenses of the trip tonight. Thank you all.
All righty. Thank you, Pastor Lisa. If you would you please stand with us once again this morning? And as you're standing, I'll throw out two additional quick announcements. We want to let you know that due to VBS being all week long this coming week, we will not have our Wednesday evening services here in the sanctuary because we will be participating in VBS. And we also want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving to God and to First Assembly. And you can give by either visiting the drop box in the lobby today or giving online. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. Heidi, would you come and lead us?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that He
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team, this morning. And you may be seated, everybody, as we look to the Word of God together. Today, we're reminding you this morning as we continue with lesson number 4 today in our spring house cleaning series that we have been urging Christians, Christian households, husbands, wives, children, every member of the household to make the Christian home a place that is indwelt by the presence of the Holy Spirit, living under the lordship of Jesus, being used by God to accomplish God's purposes in the home. We've been directing you in every lesson in this series to that powerful story in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus delivered a man from a legion of demons, of demonic spirits, set the man free, broke the chains that were upon his life, healed him. By the end of the story, they found the man sitting there clothed and in his right mind, set free from the chains that bound him. The man was so powerfully delivered by Jesus and so impressed with Jesus and so in love with Jesus. How many of you here today, Jesus has made a powerful change in your life? And how many of you, because of what Jesus has done for you, you love the Lord Jesus? Say amen. Yeah. And you want to follow Jesus the rest of your life. And this man who was delivered was so overwhelmed with the power and the love and the deliverance of Jesus that he wanted to leave his community and follow Jesus in the ministry. But Jesus directed that man with these words: go home. Go home and tell your family what good things the Lord has done for you. And Jesus sent that man. That man had been away from home. That man's home had been broken because of his demonic lifestyle. And Jesus said, it's time to go home and walk into the doors of your home as a powerfully delivered child of God and make a difference in your own home. Go home, said Jesus. We started this series a few weeks ago by declaring that the Christian home should be a safe place, a place of spiritual safety, a harbor, a haven, even a hospital, where despite what the world brings against us, we as the children of God in our own Christian homes ought to have the privilege of being able to experience the power and the grace and the love of Jesus. I want you to know this morning, it is God's will for every Christian home to be a place of spiritual health and life and love and power. That's God's will. And we declared that every Christian home should be a place where people can receive healing. We've urged ourselves in this series of lessons, number one, to get rid of the junk that pollutes the home spiritually. I hope that some of you have made some adjustments in your home life, even in the midst of this series. How many of you know it doesn't do any good to come to church and listen to the Word of God and walk out and nothing ever change? If that's the kind of Christian life you're living, then you need to get saved and to come to a place where the Holy Spirit can work in your life and speak to you and convict you and correct you and direct you. And so I hope that there have been some adjustments made in some of your homes. We urged Christians to get rid of the junk that polluted the house. In our second lesson, we urged believers to replace the attitudes that break and bruise people within our homes with attitudes that will bless and build one another. Get rid of the stinky attitudes so that the atmospheres can be pleasing atmospheres to God and to the members of that household. How many of you know, at the very least, Christians ought to be able to live in peace in their own homes? Get rid of the junky attitudes. In lesson number 3 last Sunday morning, we urged every Christian household to guard the core Christian values in your homes and to establish a set of spiritual biblical values that govern the way we think, the way we talk, the way we live our lives, and that in every household there ought to be regular training of one another and conversations with one another and you know, iron sharpening iron, so that we are becoming stronger in biblical values in a world that is continually trying to erode our Christian values. And while the world and the winds of the world are blowing on the outside, how many of you know that in our Christian homes, we ought to be guarding our hearts and our homes by establishing firm biblical value systems? Would you say amen? This morning, we come to our fourth lesson. Lord willing, we'll be one more week next Sunday in this sermon series. But today, lesson number 4, we're going to bring a lesson about bringing the healing power of God into a home where heartaches have brought brokenness. There are many, many Christian homes where brokenness prevails. And I want to declare to you this morning, listen to me today, before we even move into the outline, and we've got to hurry today because of our busy schedule. Before we even move into the outline today, I want to declare to you today as your pastor and as a preacher of the Bible, I want to declare to you today that nothing is impossible with God. Are you listening today? Nothing is impossible with God. You may be here today and you may be saying, my situation, impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So write the word, just cross off the word impossible and understand that God is the God of miracles. Even in our Christian homes, especially in our Christian homes, God is the God of miracles. Let's make 3 statements about healing at home. Number 1, every home, and I mean every home, has a history of hurts and heartaches, though often buried inside the home and hidden from outsiders. I said last Sunday, you can't judge a book by its cover, right? You can't judge what's taking place inside the home by what the outside of the home looks like. Every home has experienced hurts and heartaches. Number 2, many Christian homes harbor hurts and heartaches instead of pursuing healing, thus hindering their God-given purposes as a Christian home. Look, listen. Many Christian homes just allow the brokenness to prevail without pursuing God's help in the midst of it. Say, why would anyone do that? I suppose there are a variety of reasons why Christians would not pursue God's healing in their homes. Faithlessness, stubbornness. Are you awake today? Yes, sir. Pride. A variety of reasons why people would not pursue the healing that they so desperately need in their homes. And yet many Christian homes, I've pastored long enough to know that many homes that call themselves Christian homes are full of brokenness. The third statement is this: hope for healing the home is found in the principles of Scripture, in the work of Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you can say that the world has the answers, but I'm telling you right now, the world does not have the answers. Jesus is the answer, and the principles of God's word are the answers for the most broken of Christian homes. Yep. And so this morning I want to talk about 2 categories quickly. 1 is pain and heartache at home, and 2 is power for healing at home. Let's look quickly at the pain and the heartache that fills many Christian homes. First of all, it's true that every Christian household experiences early hopes for health. I have conducted many wedding ceremonies down through the years in my time, and as we stand on the platform together, the future looks bright to every young man, young woman who stand on this platform or in some other church setting or some other setting where they pledge their lives to each other. Do you agree with me this morning that nobody would ever get married if they knew their home was going to be a train wreck? No, because you know very well enough that the hurts and the heartaches in the home are some of the most severe, agonizing pains that anybody could experience. Because the people closest to you are the ones who have the greatest power to bring you injury in your life. Nobody would say, oh, I pledge my life to you from this day forward, if they knew that the years were going to bring great devastation and destruction and dysfunction and brokenness. Nobody. They would say, no, thank you, sweetheart. I'll see you later. So every Christian home begins with the hope, and I suppose even with the confidence that we've got great potential here. And there is great potential in the Lord, but how many of you know the devil gets in the way? There's great potential. So every Christian family hopes for healthy relationships, healthy bodies, right? Healthy minds and emotions. Healthy finances, and healthy spirituality. And yet, have you ever seen any of those things disrupted in a home that is a Christian home? Anybody here ever had relationship difficulties inside the house? If you haven't, you're not even human, okay? Now maybe you've experienced it and you've gotten God's answer. But there are struggles in every relationship. And we all think that we're going to be pictures of health until we're 99 years old, and then, you know, 50 hits, right? Healthy minds and emotions. Everybody thinks, oh, we'll always have plenty of money. Anybody here ever had a shortage of money at some point in your life, in your marriage? Ever had a shortage? Healthy spirituality? Everybody has early hopes for health. But eventually, hurts and heartaches come. Eventual hurts and heartaches to the Christian. Many families experience the pain of diseases and disabilities and disorders. And friends, listen to me. Physical difficulties in a home require great effort and struggle and great pain marks many households just because of physical situations, sicknesses, disabilities, struggles. Those come to Christian homes to various levels, in various different categories. Sometimes people deal with things that we don't even know they're dealing with because they keep them pretty hidden. Many families experience the pain of diseases and disabilities and disorders. Many families experience the pain of dollar deficits. Somebody, you know, they always say, well, money isn't everything, but how many of you know money is something? How many of you know it's good to be able to eat? Yeah. And how many of you know it's nice to be able to pay your electric bill? Not have to be concerned and troubled over things. And yet a lot of families experience dollar deficits. Let me tell you that money problems bring great difficulties into homes, even Christian homes. When there's a listen, you know these things anyway, but when there's a shortage of money, all kinds of relationship difficulties can come as a result of money shortage. All right? She spent this, he spent that. He's a saver, she's a spender, she's a saver, he's a spender. Clashes over how you spend your funds and who did this and that and the other. Money troubles cause all kinds of difficulties. Then there are the pains of disasters and death. Things that come upon Christian homes that leave a home injured and broken and really hurting. then, of course, in many Christian homes, there are dissensions and divisions and dysfunction, where the Christian home does not work the way it's supposed to work, where members of the household are not living in the principles of God's word, and because of that, their relationships struggle. They are divided against each other. They struggle against each other. Look. Sometimes the very people who are called to love each other the most deeply end up hating each other, despising each other, resenting each other. Right inside the walls of a Christian home, people are divided and broken. And the whole thing, and nothing works the way a Christian home is supposed to work. There's no love and kind. I said a long time ago that most relationships could be healed if everybody involved just exercised simple Christian love and kindness. Are you here? That sounds so overly simplistic, but love and kindness give root to humility, give root to a serving spirit, give root to a desire to be whole and well, love, and yet in many Christian homes, there's not an ounce of love and kindness to be found. Sometimes nobody in the Christian house is acting in those kinds of proper spirits. Sometimes one member or two members of the household are so dysfunctional and they disrupt everything else. And those who are trying to operate in the right spirit, their efforts are thwarted by the contradictory efforts of others in the home. So there's so many times when homes are broken by these things. Great pain comes into the family. Of course, then there's the pain of desertion and divorce. When a marriage breaks up, and the pain of that goes on, and the results of that are endless. And the impact of a broken marriage upon children is immeasurable. Not only is that is the impact of that immeasurable upon children, it's immeasurable upon the marriage couple who are broken up because of these dysfunctional, non-spiritual approaches to life and to relationships. Many homes are broken, so broken and beaten, and it just seems sometimes that healing is nowhere to be found. I tell you, there is healing in the Lord. If the members of a household would put their confidence in the Lord, and each member of that household would surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and the directives of Scripture, healing could come. Healing could come. And I know that because I know that Christians have been saved out of every imaginable broken situation. We're here today. If we looked back at some of you and your pre-Christian past, we would find, we sang, I once was lost, but now I God saved a wretch. Like, we would find that there are a lot of people who were pre-Christian wretches. Okay. And all of us without Jesus were broken beyond measure. And many before Jesus came, out of all kinds of broken lifestyles, did God do a miracle? I said, did God do a miracle? Is His saving power real? I declare this morning that if God's saving power is real when you first came to Christ, then God's saving power is still real when you need to give your life back to God and experience a new life in Jesus again. Amen. Yeah. God's power is still real. Eventual hurts and heartaches. Unfortunately, they're exacerbating heartaches. There's the process of exacerbating heartaches in the home. In other words, there are things that make it all worse. We got all of these troubles, and then complications make it all worse.
Healing is hindered. Think about this. Is everybody still awake today? Healing is often hindered by fixing blame instead of forgiving and moving forward. I've never found any relationship trouble where there wasn't some struggle on both sides. Okay? Now, is it possible that it's just one-sided? Yeah, it's possible. I suppose it's possible. It's not likely. Okay? Because how many of you understand that even the Proverbs teach us that a soft answer turns away wrath? And yet when one comes this way, the other is most likely to come back in the same manner, and the interchanges begin, and World War III erupts in the Christian home. And sometimes it's sometimes World War III is the Cold War. Are you awake? You say, how does he know all this being single? I know. You say, how does he know about my home? God showed me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. How many of you know, we all know what life looks like. These things are no secrets. Healing is hindered by fixing blame and refusing to forgive. And sometimes the fixing of blame looks back and reaches back to every transgression ever made. We keep a record when God forgives. We say things like, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget that. And we choose sometimes that we're just not going to let that go. Fixing blame. Healing is hindered, secondly, by focusing on the bleak and forgetting the blessings. We've been talking some about relationship struggles here this morning, but the reality is many of the heartaches in the home are heartaches caused by struggles and difficulties. It's not that there's division, it's that life has happened and sadnesses have come. And struggles and disappointments have been there. And sometimes it's easy for us to focus on the bleak and think, well, everything has gone wrong. We're just cursed. We always have the bad. And we focus on the bleak and forget the blessings. And many times if we take an honest look and assessment at the things, God has blessed us with so many things, even though, yes, we've struggled. Even though, yes, we have troubles, God has given us so many blessings in the middle of it all. Amen. Are you here? Yes. And he's helped us through. He's strengthened us day by day in the midst of it. And yet some choose to focus on the bleak and forget the blessings. Healing is hindered, thirdly, by forming barriers and blockades within the home. Walls rise that become so established that it's hard for either side ever to break down that wall. Can I remind you that it was God who sent the Israelites marching around the walls of Jericho? How many of you understand the walls that we cannot tear down, God is able to bring down? Huh? If we will march in faith, if we will do what he tells us to do, if we will be faithful to God, God is able to break down walls that we cannot break down. Amen? Forming barriers and blockades. And fourthly, healing is hindered by floundering in brokenness and barrenness, believing that there's no hope and there's no positive prospect ever ahead for us. Sometimes, friends, all that is plain doubt driven by the devil's discouragement that says nothing can ever be any better. Well, the reality is God is able to bring healing in the Christian home if we will trust in him and go his way. And so let's take a few moments at the close of this message to think about some simple principles for healing at home. How can we experience power for healing in our own homes? Well, I say to you this morning, these will overlap some and they will be simplistic. But the answers are usually a lot simpler than we think. Listen to the first one. There must be in the household a unity in passion for serving the Savior. We got to get close to the Lord, friends. Huh? I said we got to get close to the Lord. I have watched over the years families struggle deeply. They have looked for sometimes even they've looked to pastors for help. They've looked to counselors for help. They've looked to the, you know, to friends for help, advice from everybody under the sun, but they will not draw one inch closer to Jesus. They fail to access the primary source of spiritual power that is available to us as individuals. Listen, as individuals and as a united people. Because remember, it's the scriptures that teach us to unite together, right? In a variety of categories, the scriptures teach us to unite together, right? Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken, right? If two or three of you agree and come together in my name, there I'll be in the midst of you, right? When they were all together in one accord, the Holy Spirit came, right? That spiritual unity that the scriptures teach again and again is critical to bringing healing. Look at me, everybody. Let me talk to every person individually for just a minute. Do I have your attention? I want to speak to every individual in the room. And I want to say this to you. Don't you be the hindrance to healing in your home. Could I have a better amen? Amen. You say, well, it's not my fault anyway. Well, don't be the hindrance. You know, Romans chapter 12 teaches us that as far as it is possible with us, it's not always possible. But as far as it's possible with us, we're to live at peace with all men. Yes. That means you are called, Larry, yes, to do everything you can do to get along with Teresa. Amen. Yeah. Teresa, I don't have a word for you this morning. The reality is every individual Christian bears spiritual responsibility in this. So when we use the word unite in these five simple principles, let me just tell you, if you are the stumbling block and you refuse to unite in these spiritual processes, then you become the hindrance and the roadblock. It might be that nobody wants to unite, and yet, you know, they all call themselves Christians. Sad. Sad. Because as Christians, we ought to want to do what the Lord wants us to do. And how many of you understand that as Christians, we ought to want the very best God has for us and our families? Amen. Yeah? So we ought to first unite in passion for serving the Savior. Everybody get closer to Jesus. If the other three members of your household aren't going to get closer to Jesus, then you get closer to Jesus anyway. And that'll help because you'll be better in the process. You'll help the process out if you'll get closer to Jesus. Right? Right? Joshua 24, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay? How many of you individually would say today, I am going to serve the Lord in my household? Come on, come on, give it to me. How many, I'm going to serve the Lord? Yeah. I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, I hope that you can unite together with the members of your household and say, we're going to serve the Lord together. That's our passion. We're going to unite together. Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas replied to the jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. It's God's will that our households be saved. Look at Matthew 7:25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet that house did not fall because it had its foundation built on the rock. The house built on Jesus is a strong house. Yeah. Unite in passion for serving the Savior. There's no shortcut for everybody getting closer to Jesus. Are you here? No shortcut for that. Everybody needs to get filled with the Spirit. Everybody needs to get closer to Jesus. Everybody needs to examine himself, herself, to see where you need to change, where you yourself need to comply better with the principles of the Word of God. You need to be kinder. You need to be more loving. You need to be more forgiving. You need to exercise your part. There is no member of a household that bears no responsibility. Every member of a Christian household bears spiritual responsibility. Two, unite in processing pain and sorrow so that when hurts and heartaches come, you're bearing those things together, lifting the hurts. And there are a lot of struggles in this world and a lot of difficulties in life. Christians are intended in general to bear those things together. Are you hearing me? Listen to Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:7, our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. If we're going to experience hurts together, we ought to comfort one another, right? We ought not ignore one another, yes? Sometimes people in the household, you know, they experience pain, so they go to their corner, the corner of their room. They weep alone. Sometimes we do weep alone, but I tell you, it's a whole lot better. When you're going to have to weep, it's a whole lot better to have somebody weeping in the corner with you, with their arm around you. Are you listening? With the love of God connecting you together and to bear those hurts and heartaches together. And you know what? Husbands and wives need to comfort each other regularly in the midst of the struggles of life and need to comfort their children in the midst of the struggles their children deal with. Our children, our young people in the world in which we live go through so much more grief than we ever imagined when we were young, you know, roller skating down the side. You know, this is a tough world in which we live. Our children not only need structure and discipline, they need love and kindness and compassion and support and encouragement. So we've got to unite in processing pain and sorrow. Thirdly, there must be unity in persevering amidst the struggles of life. Things that we're struggling against and battles that we are in and victories we're trying to win. We need everybody in the house to get in a circle around, you know, circle the wagons. Do you know what it is to circle the wagons? All of you Gunsmoke people out there. We need to circle the wagons. Because we've got there are heavy battles in this world. Families need to stick together. Fight life struggles together. Fight the devil together. Amen. No, if one member of the household is being stolen away by the devil, the rest of that household needs to bind together to pray and to declare the word of God. And that family needs to come together and pray and declare to the devil, devil, you're not getting our sister. We're covering her in prayer. And we fight the battles together. Mark 3 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Nehemiah, I love this word from Nehemiah chapter 4. I hope you're a Bible reader here today. I hope if you read the Bible, you don't skip the Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah is an awesome book. It's about the rebuilding of the walls at Jerusalem. There were many who opposed the Jews in rebuilding that wall. Struggles came on every side. But Nehemiah got the people and said, let's stick together, everybody. Let's stick together. We're going to get the job done for the Lord, but we got to stick together. Listen to what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:14. He said, after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. of those enemies. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Let's fight for our families. I said, let's fight for our families. Listen, if only in prayer, you know, we're not even in this sermon talking about physical fist fights. We're talking about spiritual matters, right? So we ought to be in spiritual warfare for our families. We should unite in persevering amidst the struggles and the battles of life. Romans 15:5, a beautiful blessing, says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. May the Lord give you a spirit of unity. Every household in this place, every family, every husband and wife, kids in your family, everybody look up here. Come on, kind of grab yourself, grab one another, you know, put your arm around each other, something if you're sitting close to somebody, and receive this blessing as the scriptures declare it, because the scripture declares this to a corporate unit. Listen to this blessing. May the God who gives what? Endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ. May you families out there, may you be unified spiritually. Unite in persevering amidst the struggles. Fourthly, we must unite in the pursuit of peace amidst stress and strifes. When there is division, everybody needs to strive for peace. Are you here? Sometimes we want to lay the burden for pursuing peace on somebody else. Well, they got to do this, that, and the other before I'll even consider anything. Listen, everybody, I know there are multiple complications to many situations, but every member of the household is responsible for pursuing peace. Christians, we are a people of peace, aren't we? Aren't we? So we're a people of peace. And we've got to unite in pursuit of peace amidst stress. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. James 3:18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace. I need my pointer this morning. He must seek peace and what? And what? What does the word pursue mean? It means to run after something, doesn't it? Seek peace and pursue it. Run after peace. We must unite in pursuit of peace amidst stress and strife. And finally this morning is this principle. We must unite in prayer and praise amidst all kinds of sufferings. Matthew 18:19, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Come together, come together, come together, come together, come together, come together in the name of Jesus. Are you listening this morning? Come together in the name of Jesus. Come together in the name of Jesus. Come together in the name of Jesus. There am I with them. And listen to 1 Peter 5, verse 10. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Our God is able to restore us. I said, our God is able to restore us, to make us strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be glory and power forever. I say to you, as I said at the beginning of this message, nothing is impossible with God. And we're going to pray today that God, as we pursue him and trust him, that he will demonstrate that. Yes? But as you can see, as you're standing this morning, the time is late today. As you can see this morning from the principles of the Word of God, if we expect a miracle from God, we have to go God's way. Yeah? How many of you, let me see the hands of those in the room today who would just simply say, I personally, as a child of, as a follower of Jesus today, I personally am willing to go God's way. Yeah, come on. I am willing to go God's way. That's where it starts. That's where all of this starts. I am willing to go God's way. Hear me now. I am willing to go God's way in order that I might have a church staff that gets along together and works together well in the power of the Holy Spirit and accomplishes what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Where's my staff? Come on. Come on. Come. Let me have my church staff over here. Come on. Come on. Everybody who works for the church. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Brandon. Leave that iPad. Come on. Come on. I. Come on. He's doing the work. He's doing the work. Come on, everybody. Come on, those who are employees of the church here. This is just an illustration. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Nance. You're not as young as you used to be. When I first became the pastor, when I became the interim pastor 29 years ago, a couple months ago, Nancy was the first person that I hired. I hired her full time. She's been a blessing to us, hasn't she? Oh, thank you, Nancy. Come on over here. Come over here, guys. Come over here. Come over here. Come over here, guys. Come on. This is just an illustration. This is not a message about the church staff. This is a message about corporate. Get off of. I am willing to go God's way so that we can all work together. How many of you guys on our staff, you're willing to go God's way so that we can work together? Yeah. How could a house ever stand if we didn't each one? What if Pastor Bob decided that he was always going to be a stirrer-upper in this group? What if that happened? I'll tell you, if one person in this group decided that they were just going to be a menace, that could mess all of us up long-term. Isn't that right? That could mess us all up. I'd come to the pulpit every Sunday saying, oh, that Bob. You say, well, you do anyway. Well, that's all a joke. Yeah. How many of you know that's all a joke? We have to determine individually. Individually, we can't afford to be the one who disrupts and cause and prevents healing from taking place when healing is necessary. We have to say, no, the kingdom of God is at stake. Are you here? The work of God is at stake. And you know, go ahead, guys. And you know what? You know what? Come up here, Mike and Sandy. Come up here. Mike and Sandy, come up here. You all have children and grandchildren. You live in a home by yourselves because you're in that season of life. But you know, Sandy, if you just said, well, I just am never going to get along with Mike. I'm going to cause all. No, your home is at stake. Your marriage is at stake, right? The testimony that your children and your grandchildren receive is at stake. So, Sandy, you have to surrender yourself to the Lord's way, don't you? And Mike, you have to surrender yourself to the Lord's way so that even in a household of two, you're building a home that glorifies God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Come on up here, Brian and Julie. Come on up here. Where's Claire? Where are Claire and Emily? Emily had to leave. Come on up here, Claire. Come on up here. Come up here. Emily had to leave early. She's probably gone for a soccer meet somewhere. Now here's Brian and Julie McMillan, and Claire and Emily had to leave a little early. What if, you know, I remember when Claire was born. She had that red hair. And we nicknamed her Bossy Claire. Yeah, she's never lived that down. Maybe I'm the only one who ever refers to it. Her Aunt Jill started. What if Claire would say on a regular basis, you know, Brian, Julie, Christian parents, I know, Brian and Julie, I know you all love each other. I know you've got a strong Christian home. You're a believing home. I love that. You too, Claire, but I'm going to use you as the illustration. What if Brian and Julie were trying to build a Christian home? Sweet little Emily out there. And Claire, with all of her red hair, said, well, I can't help it. I'm a redhead. And redheads are naturally explosive. And I can't help. What if Claire was a continual difficulty in this home? She hindered everything God wanted to do because she always brought frustration to the home. No. Brian, you're the husband. You have to go God's way. You have to surrender to God. Julie, you have to be God's woman. Claire, you have to be God's teenager, just graduated from high school. But you know what? You and Emily are critical in this home to bringing about the fullness that God wants for your Christian home. Isn't that right? Every member of the household is responsible for uniting together and working together to produce a godly, healthy Christian home. So I say that because so many times everybody blames every other member of the household. Stop it! Just stop it! Does everyone bear some blame? Maybe, but we've got to focus on coming together, surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, amen, and building what God wants us to build. And oh my, the time is late. The clock is gone. Let's pray. Because we could preach another 45 minutes on this subject, couldn't we? Let's unite together. If you're close to your family, whoever you're close to, just grab hold of right now and let's make a commitment right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over these Christian homes and households that today you would, oh Father, bring miracles, oh Lord, into our homes of healing, we pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that every member would surrender himself, herself, to the Lordship of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit so that your will would be accomplished in our homes, Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray, oh God, your work would be done mightily within our own Christian homes. Be glorified through us, oh God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Look. You've heard the word of God. Go forth to be a doer of the word. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you today.